Welcome to The Inner Room, a space where we ponder the inner movements of our heart to find God by finding examples and instructions in daily scripture readings. The emotions in our hearts can help us or hinder us in our spiritual journey. Open your heart, explore your emotions, and align thoughts and emotions with God's plans for you. When we learn to feel and align our emotions, we advance in our prayer life by loving more deeply, remaining in peace more often, and finding courage for the journey of life. My name is Sofia Fonseca de Niño, and a big shout out to my son Marco Niño, producer of this podcast. Sit back or walk with us. You are most welcome here. We are celebrating the most important feast of our Christian faith. For us Catholics that celebrate the sacred Triduum that began on Holy Thursday, we are immersed in the depths of the silence of this mystery. On Holy Thursday, we celebrate the institution of the Eucharist, in that last meal that our Lord had before his passion. He gathers his friends and companions that he has trained for 3 years, and he gives the three gifts that are at the core of our faith. He institutes the sacred Eucharist, through which he will say, "This is my blood and this is my body," for the first time. What we heard in John 6, that whoever doesn't eat of his body and blood cannot have life. At the point where so many left Jesus in that John 6 story, where Jesus turns around and says, "Will you also leave me?" Here on Holy Thursday, we have our Lord becoming enmeshed in our life for the rest of humanity. He becomes our food, friends. He becomes our drink, friends. He remains with us in his promise until the end of time. Then Jesus institutes the sacred and holy priesthood, through which we will be able to repeat that same moment for eternity, where we will be able to receive the body and the blood of Christ forever through the hands of the priests, because Jesus invites those present to do that until the end of time. And we have the sacred hands of the priest that become consecrated the same way that in Leviticus God separates one of the tribes for his service. Here we have the priests who will be separated by chastity, poverty, and obedience. And in the sacrament of love, Jesus becomes a servant, washing the feet of the apostles. And we have that beautiful encounter of Jesus with Peter, who says, "You cannot wash my feet." But Jesus says to us, "Unless I wash them, you cannot have life." And then Peter says, "Wash everything." And that is our prayer in this beautiful moment where Jesus wants to show us a sign of his love, inviting us to love that way as well. And that is how he institutes a new commandment of love, to love our neighbors as he's loving us. And he's preparing himself for this torture and sacrifice by showing this love. And he gives the priests also the power to forgive sins. That will also be the way that Jesus continues to touch us through the sacrament of penance. Friends, in that first Holy Thursday, Jesus leaves singing to the Mount of Olives. And we bring the Eucharist out to repose, and Jesus invites us to stay with him for an hour to adore him. Jesus asked his disciples, "Won't you stay with me to pray?" But they fall asleep. They fall asleep. The same question that he asked, "Will you stay with me?" in John 6. And they stay. At the time of trial, sometimes we falter, friends, and we don't stand up for Jesus. We don't accompany him. So on Holy Thursday, we're given a chance to atone. We are given a chance to prostrate ourselves before the Lord and in adoration make up for the moments where we have denied him or abandoned him. Without close, Holy Thursday leads into Good Friday, the second day of the Triduum. And in that day, we have a very silent, very solemn ceremony. There are no bells, there are no organs, there is no reception of the community with a blessing when we begin. The priests come in silence and they prostrate themselves before the altar. There is no mass. It's the day of our salvation. And the priests lay before the altar because that day, the only mass is the remembrance of Jesus dying on the cross. The supreme priest will die. And we remember that. And it's solemn to see the priests with their red outfits of martyrdom laying on the ground before the altar that is empty, with no candles, with no flowers. Everything is bare and stripped and silent, like our hearts accompanying the Lord in his ultimate sacrifice. We remember his pain and his suffering, and the liturgy of Good Friday only has four parts. The Passion of Christ, according to St. John, is announced, and in our church it is sung. It is sung with parts. Somebody sings just the reading, and somebody sings the voice of Christ, and then somebody sings the voice of the crowd. And it is hard to contain the tears because it is the drama of our salvation, friends. And we give the word honor by being the only thing that is sung in silence with no music. And then we have these beautiful intercessions. We intercede for the authorities of the church to receive wisdom and guidance one by one. And we intercede then for our Jewish brethren, the first who heard the word of Christ. And we intercede for those who do not believe and those who do not adore. And we intercede also for the leaders of the world, that they may make laws that are under God. And then we intercede for each group of people that suffers in the world, those that are alone in prisons, in hospitals, those that are suffering, that God will relieve their suffering. After these solemn intercessions, we venerate the cross. And the cross is brought from the back of the church, covered, and each side of the church is unveiled, of the cross is unveiled, the right arm, the left arm, and then the feet, so that we contemplate the five wounds of Christ in his arms and feet and in his side. And in a solemn way also, we come to the cross to kiss it and to thank God for sending his son. And then finally, we receive the Eucharist that was consecrated on Holy Thursday, even to extend that sense that we are in three holy days. And then we are sent away without blessing yet, because that Mass will continue and complete on Holy Saturday. Madre Adela of the Servants of the Pierced Hearts of Jesus and Mary says that today is the day to keep silence before the cross and to listen to Jesus, who is giving us the ultimate testament of love, that this love defeated all the torture inflicted on him, because he was incarnate love. And so we look upon Jesus, thanking him for loving us to the extreme as we enter on this holy and silent Saturday, where there is also no mass and no readings until the end of the day, where we have the vigil. And the vigil celebrated on Holy Saturday, and I invite you to attend it because it is the highest mass of the year. It is the mass that begins in darkness. In our church, the priest makes a fire outside and all of us gather in the courtyard, and that is where the candle that will be present at every baptism and every wedding and every funeral, every moment of the life of the Christian, that will be lit. The Easter candle is blessed with special prayers, and it is brought into the church announcing that this is the light of the world that has saved us. And from that light, one by one, candles will be lit in the dark church so that we can really see how faith is passed from person to person to reach to the ends of the earth. I invite you to this ceremony because it is so solemn and beautiful. We begin it in silence and in darkness. Little by little, the light begins to fill the church. We begin to read the readings from the salvation of the world, from Genesis through the patriarchs and the prophets and the kings. And little by little, we arrive at the salvation in Christ. And at that point, bells and the organ is singing loud and the lights are turned on, and all the catechumens that are there to receive today on this holy Saturday, the sacraments are there in the front pews, and we come to receive them into the church. And in our church, the pond where they will receive baptism is at the foot of the altar, and they can step into it. It's like a pool, and they will receive the water, and they will receive the candle, and they will receive the oil, and then they will receive confirmation. They will receive the Holy Spirit, and then they will receive communion. So friends, do not miss the opportunity of an Easter vigil. In our church, St. John Vianney is at 8 p.m. If you've never attended it, you must attend it, because in our church, every year, there is 25 to 50 people that join the Catholic Church. And with their godparents and the people who have prepared them, they fill the altar. And we see that these catechumens that have been preparing for the whole year have decided to become Catholic after going through their scrutinies. And it gives us a sense of the livelihood of the church and the livelihood of the gift of faith. And friends, this Triduum, that is Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, culminates then with Easter Sunday, with the defeat of Jesus over death and sin. He didn't know sin, but he took upon him all the sins of the world. That is why we do the Stations of the Cross, following his path, and then on Holy Saturday, remain in silence, just waiting for that promise of salvation. This year, we did the Stations of the Cross from the heart of Mary, looking at Jesus at every point of his torture and standing staccato at the foot of the cross, watching her son pierced as her own heart is pierced. And friends, on Easter Sunday, we will rejoice. We will rejoice, and Mary is the first one to rejoice. Having watched the horror of that, she's the first one to hold in her heart the promise of the Eucharist and to take that nascent church that hasn't received the Holy Spirit yet through these three dark days of Jesus' death as we wait for Saturday, to turn into Sunday to receive Jesus at the tomb where he's not there, as Mary Magdalene and the other women come and do not find him, where we will rejoice, friends. So let us keep silence in our hearts, listening to Jesus, who is loving us and who is looking at us. And just like he will call Mary by name, he's going to call us by name. So all we say is, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you gave us yourself. Thank you that you gave us your bread and your wine to become your body and your blood. Thank you that we can be nourished by you. May we always cherish the food that you've given us, and may we be evangelists to the world to bring many to the Easter Vigil of next year. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hello, this is Sofia Fonseca de Niño, and I welcome you to this inner room. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under the Inner Room Emotions in the Bible, and we would love to hear your questions, your ideas, or your comments. Thank you for joining us today.